Well, this is the hour we will take your calls with Pastor Paul Begley as we talk about end times prophecy. I have got three more stages I want to talk with him about, then we'll get to your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Paul Begley. Pastor Paul, let's talk about three more signs of the apocalypse. Hail, where does that come in?
You know, hail, George, is unbelievable. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Where it talks about great hail that will fall, that will weigh about 75 pounds. I never dreamed we'd even be talking about such a thing, but just in the last few months, we've had a 6.5-pound hail ball landing in Texas.
Like a bowling ball.
We had one even, like a bowling ball crashing through a house in Wisconsin and over in Oklahoma. So hail, matter of fact, 21 people were killed in a marathon from a hailstorm in China 2 weeks ago. 500 cattle died in a hailstorm in India just 3 days ago. And it just goes on and on and on. So hail is another major, hellfire and brimstone, basically. We're seeing that beginning. It's intensifying. It'll get worse the closer that these asteroids get closer, and also we have a lot of atmospheric compression that's causing our jet streams to come closer to the surface of the Earth. And when that happens, you have more straight-line winds. It takes a lot of powerful straight-line winds to create hail, so it's going to get worse and worse. And Jesus said it in the book of Revelation.
Wildfires, we're seeing them now all over the place.
Unbelievable. And last year, California had five of the six largest wildfires ever burning at the same time. This is unbelievable. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 says that the first angel sounded that was followed hail and fire mingled with blood that was cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up and all the green grass burning up. So, yes, George, we are watching the prophecies. Again, the scientists are telling us that we are in the midst of a planet that is absolutely imploding on itself. And we were told 2,000 years ago in the prophecy that this was part of the end of the age.
And asteroids. You touched on Apophis.
Yeah, I talked about Apophis. But in 2024, 2025, we're going to have what's called a meteor storm. We're going to go through, there's a 2 million mile wide asteroid belt that's several years deep. The Earth is going to pass through it. I don't see how in the world we escape without having some kind of deep impact in this. We're not hearing a lot about it, but the reason you're not hearing a lot about it is because we've spent the last 40 years preparing for it as a human race, with underground cities, underground preparation, food, water, supplies, and really the world has been quietly preparing for a post-apocalyptic world. And this is the decade between now and Apophis. We're going to experience the coming apocalypse, and we're going to experience the events that the Bible told us was going to happen. I guess my job, George, is to just make people aware that the prophecies and the scientific data
match up. Exactly.
It matches. So you have to say, if someone just came up to you and said, oh, here's what the Bible says, but no scientific support, no proof to back it, everyone would just say, yeah, okay. Or if scientists tell you, here's what's going on, and they try to explain why, people say, well, I don't get it. But what if you can put the two together and they match?
Then you got something.
I think we got to take, we do got to look at this. We really do.
So these 10 signs we've gone to, the famines, pestilences, earthquakes, pole changes, day of darkness, animal die-offs, signs in the sky, hail, wildfires, asteroids, are they preludes to the end times? Are they part of the end times? What are they?
They're part of it. They're part of it. And it creeps up on you, sort of like boiling frogs in water. We get accustomed to certain events. Like, for instance, this is the worst drought ever in the West Coast states. But we've been through this now, and the fires the last 5 or 6 years, that a forecast of more wildfires doesn't seem to alarm us because it's becoming the norm. The lack of food. There's 8 billion people on the planet. 1 billion of them don't have enough food or clean water. Yet we've been hearing that there's shortages long enough now. As long as we've got food on our table, it just doesn't seem to alarm us until a meteor comes crashing through our dining room table. We don't seem to worry about it. But you know what? When we had to all stay home for a year, put a mask on our face, and couldn't hug grandmother, we started asking ourselves questions. My phone rang off the hook. My emails went off the charts. People started saying, Paul, is this what you were talking about?
Yeah, is this it?
I'm saying this is part of all of it collectively. Absolutely. You're in the beginning of this process.
Now, are these things, Paul, that will be or could be? Because can we change them?
You know, we can make some attempts to change them. I mean, look, there is some seeding of, for instance, China is really strong in seeding the clouds. They're trying to take some of the rain and move it into drier areas for farmland. Okay, we've been great at irrigation as a here on this planet. You know, we've learned how to do growing food in greenhouses, and we've learned a lot of different ways to be better at harvesting food with mechanical combines and what have you. But we can't stop what's inevitable. For instance, what's coming from the heavens, which most of which, when you study these prophecies of the apocalypse, it's the effects up on the earth. And that's why the Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear, for looking after these things that are coming up on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So this is where we're at. People are they're going to be afraid. They're going to die of heart attacks. They're going to understand that we're upon in a time, wars, rumors of wars. Jesus said, there's going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, but don't be troubled by this, for it must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he goes on through this whole list in Matthew 24. We can't fix it. We can prepare for it, but we can't stop the inevitable, because I think it's beyond our ability. For instance, even science, even NASA, even Russia, Vladimir Putin, we've even got an Armageddon office now at the White House, the United Nations.
Wow.
Trying to figure out a way to stop the incoming asteroids. We got movies. We've sent Bruce Willis up there. I mean, Who else do we got to send up there to try to stop the asteroids? We can't stop the inevitable, but we can prepare ourselves for what's about to take place. And not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. And we're going to have, in the alien thing, for instance, the disclosure is going on. And I'm getting ready to do a webinar in August called Aliens, Angels, and Demons.
Some are contending that it's going to be a false flag. What do you think?
I don't think it's a false flag, though. No.
Could be the real deal. I don't know if they're going to tell us the truth, though.
I really do. I think that this is part of the great fear that will strike the earth, of things coming upon the earth, and people will do everything in the world to try to deflect it, wish it away, hope it goes away, but you can't, it's sort of like anything in life, aging process. We always talk about how we wish we could just get younger, defy aging. I'm going to figure out a way around it. We can replace parts of our body when it wears out, but we can't stop the inevitable. And this is what's coming. The earth is going to go through this transformation, and it is the will of God, but there's a better day coming.
Let's take some calls. Gary in Yuba City, California, to get us started. Hello, Gary.
Yes, George. Thank you for your dedication of years of listening.
Thank you. Very kind.
I wanted to ask your I wanted to ask that if the tetrads that are impacting us from 2015 to 2016, we have a semi-triad coming up in 21, 22, and then another one in 32 and 33, and how he feels that's going to affect us. I'll take my answers off air. Thank you.
Did you follow that, Paul?
I do. The Blood Moon Tetrad. We have it in 2014, 2015. He's correct. And this was a big deal at the time. Everyone was preparing for it. And people said, well, whatever happened out of that? Well, we had a 50-day war in Israel, in the Holy Land, between, in the midst of the Hamas thing with Israel. After that 50 days, that was right in the middle between the four blood moons. The four tetrads always have happened in significant times for Israel and the Jewish people. 1492, when the Jews were being expelled out of Spain. We know again in 1948, Israel became a nation. 1967, the Six-Day War. And then again in 2014, 2015. And he's right. There's more tetrads coming, and especially in the year 2032. I think in the year 2032, which is about 3 years after Apophis, that this one is very significant to the coming of Jesus Christ. I really do. So, again, that's about 11 years away. This decade is going to be critical. So he's on to something here. The Bible talks a lot about blood moons, and certainly it does affect the Holy Land and the entire world. I think keep an eye on this.
Let's go to Joliet, Illinois. Roger's with us. Hello, Raj. Take it away.
Oh, you're one of my favorites.
Well, thank you.
What do you think the great deception is?
The great deception. What is the great deception, Pastor?
Well, I think the great deception, of course, the Bible talks about a strong delusion in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the rise of the Antichrist, actually. And what the Antichrist will be is the Savior, the false Savior, who's going to fix all of these apocalyptic events. He'll have a plan to solve the food problem, to solve the pestilences, to protect us from the aliens, to bring peace, false peace upon the earth, a masterful job with a spiritual guru beside him, which will be to eliminate religion on the planet or consolidate it or do something to try to bring it to a peaceful solution. So, yeah, the great deception's coming, and it's not far away. I've had visions and dreams about this. I've seen these things, and the Bible talks about it. So get ready for the mark of the beast system. All of it is coming, okay? And people will embrace it. This is why it's so deceptive. They will rush toward it. They'll say, this is what we need, and they'll be deceived by it.
Paul, does any of this bother you, scare you?
Well, it does bother me. And I think it probably should bother me. The reason is, I'm not afraid, no. I'm not afraid because I know my faith is in Christ. Jesus is my Savior. And so I think I've studied the Bible long enough now to know that, you know, at the end of the day, if you know where you stand with God, then you are ready to take on any situation. But it bothers me. It does bother me. I'm like anyone else. I want to see the sunshine every day and smell the roses, and I want to enjoy my grandkids, and I want to live life like everyone else. But I also am bothered by the hunger, by the pain, by the disease, by the wars, by the division and the friction and the hatred and the racism and all the different things we see, and knowing that mankind could do so much better, it bothers me that so many people will be caught up in the fray of this a world spinning out of control. So it definitely bothers me.
Let's go to Mike in Denver, Colorado. Hello, Michael. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And Mr. Begley, great conversation this evening. Thank you so much for being here. And I had kind of an observation and a question this evening, Mr. Begley. So when we talk about social media, And how the progression of social media plays into this. So if I could start from the beginning, you know, when I was in fifth grade, I attended a Catholic school, and at the time they stressed the importance of being mindful of having and exhibiting pride, because, you know, this ultimately brings us further away from God and the Word of God. And, you know, when you look at social media today, you know, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, you know, it seems to me, at least in my age group, millennials and even Gen Z, that, you know, people can get so caught up and so absorbed, you know, with social media that they make less time for the things that are actually going on in the real world. And, you know, the Bible. And, you know, because they are so focused on getting that attention from social media. But my question for you, Mr. Begley, is how do you feel that the inevitable progression of social media plays into this end times prophecy?
That is a great question. I appreciate your comments and observation. It plays probably the most prominent role of the mind manipulation and spiritual manipulation that will be on the earth, greater than probably any other form of media, because when it's like this. You know, I call when used to be people would walk down in the neighborhood and people would sit on the front porch and have conversations. It was, you know, it was how people interacted socially. Now, in the blink of an eye, you can have a conversation with 500 people at the same time. My YouTube channel alone gets over 100,000 views every day. So I can have a conversation with 100,000 people every day. Some of that's good, some of that's bad. Imagine, though, people whose whole life is centered around their social credit score. Do they get to, for instance, with communist China that's bringing this philosophy forward, and that is you have to follow the norms of society, whatever they are, and as they evolve. You're going to see the greatest herding of sheep and driving people to one direction or another that we've ever seen in history. The greatest manipulation ever known to man will be used through social media. It's the two-edged sword. It's either a blessing or a cursing. So how you deal with it, it makes it either great or horrible. Again, it's going to come down to the individual, and you're rooted and grounded in your life to be able to handle and to decipher the information that's going to be coming at you at light speed now. So it will play a major role, my brother. It will play a major role in the end time, and really will be one of the, not only to track you and label you and monitor you, but to manipulate you every step of the way.
We're going to come back in a moment with Pastor Paul Begley and take final phone calls as we talk about end times prophecy. His website, paulbegleyprophecy.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free YouTube channel, folks. Go to YouTube and in the search bar put Coast to Coast AM Official. It's got to be done that way in order for you to find it. And just sign up. It's free. We'll be back in a moment with Pastor Paul Begley taking final calls as we talk about end times prophecy on our next Coast to Coast program. A financial astrologer joins us, so get ready for the things he has to say. And then we'll be talking about near-death experiences on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with Pastor Paul Begley as we talk about end times prophecy. Paul, when you read the Bible and you look at these signs, especially Revelation, it does make you wonder, doesn't it?
It really does. And there's some of the book of Revelation, you know, it's very interesting book because some of it is really self-explanatory, makes it pretty simple to understand, and others is metaphoric.
Right.
So, you know, and so you have to try to say, what is the prophecy trying to say? And you go back to the other scriptures to find confirmation. But then at the end of the day, some of this you won't understand until it happens, until it starts taking place, you say, oh, this is what that scripture meant. And that's why it's a fascinating, a prophecy is something that's ever going, ever evolving, revealing. That's why it's the apocalypse. It's revealing. It's revelation. And so it takes place over a period of time. So it is very fascinating. And so more people study, I think the less fear you'll have, the less, you know, the more prepared people will be.
I think so, too. Let's go to final calls here, Paul. Let's go to first-time caller Mark in Sacramento. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mark. Go ahead. Still with us, Mark? Nope.
Can you hear me, right?
Are you there? Nope. He's not there. Good try. Let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Go ahead, Joseph.
Paul? Hello, Pastor Paul? Yeah.
Here.
Did you know that Satchel Paige retired when he was 59, Paul? So he still should be playing Major League Baseball. But my question is on the Book of James. It seems to be, it says it's written to 12 tribes, but you mentioned wisdom, and it said that, it says in chapter 1, anybody that lacks wisdom, let them ask for it. So that's really any one individual person. And then you flip to chapter 5, it says he who is in trouble, he should pray. So it seems to put the onus on the person to seek their own answers, as you could either need wisdom or have trouble at any point or any turn in the corner, so to speak. So that's really, I wanted to ask you about that. And also, the serpent and the eagle. The serpent seems to be always associated with the occult, but the eagle seems to be on both sides. It seems to be, in some forums on the occult side and in other forums on the good side, which is perplexing.
Great observation. James, you're exactly right. In the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it to every man liberally.
Yeah.
In other words, a lot of times we don't have answers because we just don't ask. We don't ask God. We don't want to talk to God. We talk to everyone else but God. And we kind of put God in that spare tire in the back of the trunk. And in the last resort, we pull out and ask God. Well, he should be first. And then you're exactly right that it is an individual revelation. God's word is to be for every person individually. People like me, my job is to point people toward the Bible and to God, to not be the answer. I don't have all the answers. And so obviously that's our job, is to ask God ourselves. You're exactly right. Now, as it relates to the serpent, look, go all the way back into all the civilizations. Look at the glorification or the obsession with the serpent. Look at the Mayans. Look at the Aztec Indians. Look at the Incas. Study all the ancient civilizations. The serpent played a major role, even in the Bible. Even Moses had, whenever he went to see Pharaoh, Pharaoh threw down his magicians. Sorcerers threw down their staffs to become snakes, to become serpents. Moses throws his staff down. It becomes a serpent and swallows them up. Even later, God tells Moses, put a serpent on a pole and hold it up in front of the children of Israel, and everyone that looks on it will be healed. You're exactly right. The serpent plays a role of the deceiver in the Bible with Adam and Eve is deceived. But at the end of the day, the serpent is mentioned throughout Scripture, mostly to represent Satan or the devil. And I think the Antichrist, this is going to be something very important to watch for. The Antichrist will, at some point, as he's emerging on the scene, will use the symbol of the serpent very subtly. He will use the symbol of the serpent to say he's coming to bring new life, new revelation, and new healing to the land and to the people. Watch for the sign of the serpent within the rise of the Antichrist.
Tommy tells me Mark in Sacramento is back. Let's give it a try. Go ahead, Mark.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go.
Great. Yeah, I'll do this in 60 seconds. Signs, S-I-G-N-S. One is the Gulf of Mexico and the state of Florida, which is the result of the asteroid crater that killed the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the Great Central Valley of California is an asteroid divot, a glancing blow. They're that big, folks. And the third sign is the sign we all need to make to stop Apophis from killing us. The sign we all need to make and display is LennonMurderTruth.com.
I don't think so, but that's okay. Daniel in Wichita, Kansas.
Hi, George. I'd like to ask Paul a couple questions.
Sure.
And first off, you keep resorting to history, but you're talking, Paul, basically about biblical history. You're not talking about, you're saying, oh, never in this time in history have we went through these things. I have the idea that you're talking about biblical history, which is basically...
I hate to interrupt this moment, but no, I'm not talking about just biblical history. When I'm talking about historical accounts, I'll go beyond before even recorded biblical history. Earth has encountered, the dinosaurs were wiped out, obviously.
Right.
We've been hit
right.
with major meteorites and asteroids in the past.
Right.
And we don't know. The Earth is millions. The Earth is millions and millions of years old.
Right. And what I'm addressing to you, sir, is do you deny that there's the possibility of other cultures here being on Earth before the Jews, before the Bible, before the scriptures were written and recorded? Do you deny that there was history before that? And when you say all these things have never been experience in history, I disagree with you 100%. I think they probably have.
Well, you have the right to disagree, to be sure. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, and you do have a right, and that's fine. I think that in my case, maybe you're misunderstanding me. I do believe there's been civilizations and people even before the biblical accounts. We have too much evidence of that. I think that probably preachers, for the most part, are stereotyped and we're put into this box that we only make reference to scriptures. We make reference to scriptures because we believe the scriptures were divinely inspired and give us a roadmap on how to handle going forward. But I can't deny, there's no way of denying the fact of we have the giants that were on the land during Genesis 6. Well, even Cain, when Cain was told to leave Adam and Eve and to go off into the land of Nod where he met his wife and married her, well, where did she come from? Where did those people come from? So I think God is much bigger than even our ability to grasp. And so I'm agreeing with you that God is much bigger than just the what knowledge we do have. But with the knowledge we do have, there are the words of life. And that is where we find the truth that can change our destiny, I believe, is in the Holy Scriptures of God.
Let's go to Jim, Newark, Delaware. Welcome to the program. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, George. You know I'm calling on this show.
Yes, sirree.
Hey, Paul, how's the red heifer holding up in Israel? Are they going to resume the oblation and supplication?
Great question. Well, the red heifer, there's more than one now. They have one that's about 2 years old, and it will be ready to be used to be sacrificed actually for the dedication of the third temple in about a year. It has to be around almost 3 years old. It actually has to be 2 years and 9 months to qualify to be used. If that time comes and the temple's not built, then they look to the next red heifer. Well, right as we speak, there are several red heifers now that are in the stalls in Israel that qualify to be used. So basically, it is like unbelievable, really, because the red heifers are stacking up. It's as if at any time you start seeing the third temple built, the heifers, there will be a heifer ready. And, yeah, the scripture's going to be fulfilled. It's unbelievable. I go there all the time, and they are preparing like you wouldn't believe. And even as we speak with this new, with Netanyahu leaving and a new prime minister coming in, Naftali Bennett, and with the Biden administration, things are moving rapidly with other nations to some type of peace accord, I think to kind of follow up with the Trump-Abraham Accord. So keep a close eye. Israel is the prophetic timepiece. Things are moving quickly.
Paul, thanks for being on the program again. Keep in touch, and let's keep our fingers crossed about all of this, okay?
Absolutely, George. Thank you. It was an honor to be with you tonight.
Pastor Paul Begley, his website is his name, paulbegleyprophecy.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And for Michael Cosio, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ryan Stacey, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.